Morning.
Good morning.
If you're a visitor here, I'm not the guy that does this usually. And before I'm done, you'll know why, okay? If you're not a visitor, you're probably thinking the same thing I thought when Rich asked me to do this. You know, why? I tried, I said, hey, Sean wants to do it really badly, I'm sure, but he didn't go for it. Anyway, so Rich is off in the woods someplace, and he asked me to fill in for him. So, you know, if you got to behave yourself, we're out by, half past probably. So I started thinking about it, and I want to tie in, Rich's last, the series he's done, being all in, tie that into something, but a little different, whatever. So I was sitting. And I had my breakfast one day, and it dawned on me that with all the mess the world's in right now, the supply chain and my breakfast and the church have something in common. Bear with me, I'll tell you. So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking, and some farmer had to do his thing, so I have my three little red potatoes on my plate for breakfast. And likewise, the chicken had to contribute a couple eggs for me. And Juan Valdez dragged his donkey up the hill to get my coffee for me, right? And some baker got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to make bread for me for my two slices of toast, all for my 15-minute of breakfast in the morning, while I'm going through the news and stuff and all that. And so I'm thinking about it. And with the sausage I had, the sausage is different because the pig was all in. He didn't contribute. Didn't see it coming, did you? That aside, Rich's messages for the last few weeks, had been about being all in. And the reason he talked about that was because he's looking at the world around us, and the world has changed a lot. Because of COVID, basically. And the Christian needs to know how to address that, I think. So we'll get into that. We'll pray real quick here and get started. Father God, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We just ask that you would be with the service, with this message, Father. We ask you to be with all the guys out hunting today, Father. We ask you for their safety and you bring them back to us all in one piece, Father. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the idea of being all in, Rich has been concerned, and then I think if you pay attention to the world, you see it also, that the world is drastically different now than it was in 2019. There's been a lot of things change that you never really saw coming. And we are more and more facing a world that the first century church faced. It's not there yet. I mean, the first century church has some pretty ugly things to deal with. I mean, if you got the emperor mad, you wind up being a tiki torch at his next garden party. But there's more hostility toward the church than there has been in years. Just to name a few, the inflation headed through the roof. Food prices up, gasoline's double what it was a few months ago. Censorship. We're facing censorship. Like they had in the 1930s in Europe, between Facebook and Twitter and shadow banning, and now you can't. They decide who you talk to and what you say to them. The woke culture and hate speech. There are things you can't say now for the fear that you offend somebody, somehow, whatever. A newsflash is that I have the right to be offended, and you have the right to offend me. And I'm pretty good at it, actually. So these things have all changed. We've not had to deal with it as a society or a church. It's all new. So how do you navigate that thing? And that's what Rich's point is for the last few weeks, is how do you do that? Well, the point is that you're To be all in means that you view Christ first. And how does Christ tell us to approach these things? And you know, it's getting, if you're paying attention to the world, on top of all that, all those problems, we have COVID. Okay, the COVID thing. If you look at the world, in Europe, you know, what started out being 2 weeks indoors to flatten the curve wound up being 2 years and show me your papers in many parts of the world. Australia is locked down. You can be arrested and thrown in jail for not having a COVID card. They're building, or have built, I think in New Zealand also and Australia, isolation camps for the unvaccinated. Read concentration camp, you know. Yeah, we've seen this before, and it's a dangerous thing. Now we need to deal with that somehow. You know, what do you do? In Canada, if preachers can be thrown in jail for holding services, you know, because of hate speech and because you can't have a crowd of people. COVID's messed a lot of stuff up. And one thing close to home, this is kind of an aside, you know, a funny thing, but COVID has caused us to go to those little tiny miserable cups for communion with a paper lid on them. I hate them, okay? I can't get them open. It's like a test to give a lab monkey, you know, IQ test. I can't do it. I'll stand here when Rich calls up for the elders to do communion, and he passes the cups out, and I'm like, you know, looking around like I can't get this thing open, you know? Kind of embarrassing, but so and at home, okay, there's a horrible mixed message about what to do and how to do it and why. You know, it first started out being don't wear a mask, then it was well, wear a mask, maybe two, wear two masks. We were told not to worry because we have three vaccines that are 100% effective, and now they're saying, well, they're not effective. You need a booster shot every few months. Well, okay, what's going on? You know, or if you get the vaccination, you still got to wear a mask to protect you from the people who aren't vaccinated for what you just took the vaccination for. Don't get that either. The scary part about all this is that if you think about it, no matter what side of politics aside and where you fall on COVID, no COVID, vaccination, whatever, it should be a little frightening that one man shut the world down. You know, the world's so finely tuned that one person can throw sand into works and the world shuts down. Locked the world down. Screwed the economy up of the world, the whole world. That's a little frightening. So you think of all this stuff, and for me, maybe you don't, but it comes down to the point where you think it's almost more about control than health. If you have police rounding up people and you're in Australia, they're getting beat up in the street and thrown in jail, it don't seem real healthy, okay? What else is going on here? So I'm thinking all this stuff about this message. If you had to sum up the world from 2019 till now, what one word would come to mind? Anybody? You can.
Chaos.
Well, that's a good word too. About fear. Yeah. If leaders know that if you're afraid, you're more compliant. Just to be aware, you know, what's going on. They want you to be compliant. You know, take the shot, wear the mask, and that's your choice. Do what you want to do. But you know, there's a really good quote from Ben Franklin. And Ben Franklin said that those who would give up essential liberty for the cause of temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Food for thought. And look, we've been conditioned, 2001, when the terrorists hit the towers. Going forward from that, the TSA stepped in, and innocent people had to get strip searched to get on an airplane. I was in the air a lot at that time, and I can't tell you how many times I got pulled aside, and you go through your luggage and all this stuff, and, you know, I'm innocent. You know, you're not going to catch, at the time I'm thinking, you're not going to catch a guy who's going to take an airplane down. He's not going to have stuff in his bag for you when you walk through the airport, all right, usually. I could tell you a funny story that, you know, I'd been in the air a lot, and Carol and I had gone someplace, a little two-day vacation or something. Carol has a habit of throwing things in my bag and not saying anything about it. So I went through the airport, I think Pittsburgh, on the way out, and Carol had stuck those old can opener, the tooth thing, you know, for, you know, bottle tops and punching holes in juice cans and stuff. There was one in there. And I'm in line, the security line, and my bag goes through the belt, and I see the guy behind the thing, takes it forward, and backs it up, and he's checking the x-ray, and I'm thinking, nuts, I got a problem. So he says, "Is this your bag?" "Yeah." He takes me on alongside, and he goes through my clothes, nothing, goes to my shaving kit, and pulls up this can opener. And he says to me, now, the backup, I'm checking this guy out, all right, and kind of feeling the guy a little bit, and I'm thinking, this guy, he's probably 40 years old, and this is the first job he had paid more than $5 an hour, okay? And pulls up the can opener and says, "What's this?" I said, "That's yours. You can have that." He threw it in the box. Next, he reaches back in, and he pulls up a full-size tube of toothpaste, right? Because we had it, a little vacation thing. Pulls it up, he says, "What's this?" I said, "That's toothpaste, and you should try some sometime." And he looked at me, and I looked at him. "Are we done now?" Yeah. Annoying. It's just annoying. But we're conditioned to comply, you know. Do I think the government has a reason to go through your luggage? No. All right? But we didn't fight it because, well, if it's for the greater good kind of thing. And we're in that same thing now, the greater good. Take the vaccination, get the booster shots, you know, Simon Says kind of thing. But they do it because we're afraid. You know, you're afraid that you may cause a problem, or you'd be accused of causing a problem, or just for the better good do things. And I think it doesn't hurt to think about things a little bit, like what's going on exactly, okay? You know, the call to worship was a verse that I learned as a small kid. Okay, well, what's that verse about in Matthew? I'll read it again for you. It's, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, or what you'll wear. Life is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can anyone, by worry, add a single hour to your life? Do not worry about your clothes. See the flowers of the field grow. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor nor spin. Yet, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry, saying, 'What shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, it's a simple verse, and like I say, kids in Sunday school had to memorize that verse sometimes, and I did too. But it's powerful what it says. Like, don't worry about it. You know, there's no reason to get angst about, you know, what happens around you. Be aware of it, I think. And I'm not saying, you know, because, you know, I'm not trying to dismiss, you know, concerns, obviously. You know, but I'm not saying that Christians are so insulated you shouldn't pay attention. But you do have protection. God protects you. And I'm not saying that you should run in traffic and, you know, start wing walking and, you know, handle snakes. That's not the case. You don't ask for problems. But be aware that there's a greater power in us than in the world, you know, through Christ. There's another pretty interesting verse in Isaiah. If you want to look it up, I'll wait, give you a second. Isaiah 8, 11 through 13. This is one of those verses you never thought was there, I think. Okay. It says, this is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the ways of this people. Do not call conspiracy everything these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one, you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. That's kind of poignant, I think. I think it kind of fits our situation right now in society. Pretty direct. You know, pay attention to God, not the world. And the reason you should, another poignant verse would be in Romans 8, 11 through 12. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give you life of your mortal body because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have an obligation, but not to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. I think it's kind of poignant. You know, if you think about it, it's kind of an awesome thought, too. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Okay? Well, it kind of throws the whole COVID thing and all that kind of in the background. You know, we'll get through it eventually. And I think there's probably kind of a bit of an awakening about a realization of, for Christians, the power you have in Christ. And I think for the world in general, what the Constitution gives you, kind of thing, too. But I think it's good to be aware and to sit back and reflect a little bit what power we really have as Christians. Another verse, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious in everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Yeah, this is I promise you'll be out here in 20 minutes, so we're close, you know. But I think even though this is a short talk, I think it's pretty poignant about what we're facing right now. And I'll leave with one. I've used this before, but I think it bears reuse because no one here heard it before. Okay, but you know it's common nature or common human nature to, when you see storm clouds on the horizon, that you run inside and if little kids will hide under the bed or something during a thunderstorm. Well, I don't think, I read scripture, I don't think that's what really God has in mind for the Christian. I think God would have us play and dance in the rain. You can't avoid it, but deal with it. You know, if Christians run and hide from problems, what kind of witness is that? Yeah, I think it's we're obligated through Scripture. You know, you can't pick out a story in the Bible, be it Joseph, be it David, be it Moses, whoever. They all had problems. They all had serious problems. Daniel had some serious problems. They didn't run and hide. They went through it. They faced it. And God helped them. Yeah, if you trust God, it all winds up good in the end. I'm not saying you're going to have not going to have problems. You may not get beat up in the process. You may have some scuffs and bruises when it's all said and through, but God's still your protection. That's pretty much all I have. So if I bored you, put your hand up.